Welcome to The Common Sense Show with your host, Dave Hodges. We discuss a variety of topics here, including the deep state, the new world order, Agenda 21. There is no one, no topic beyond Dave's reach, because as you know, you can't dodge the Hodge.
Hey everybody, this is Dave Hodges, host of The Common Sense Show. Welcome back. Glad you could stay with us through the break. We've got a really terrific segment for you, and it's something that I wished we had time to pay more attention to, which is biblical influences, projections, and observations about our present time. And we're going to be joined in just a minute by Richard Ruling. And I have to tell you, folks, this is going to be really, really interesting, particularly for the Christians in the audience. But before we get started, I need to remind you that this show has a couple of benefactors. They make this segment possible, and we want to talk about them briefly. One is the best durable food company in the world, My Patriot Supply. We call it preparewithdave.com. 25-year shelf life, 70% off the cost. And listen to this, folks, no glyphosates, no GMOs, and it's restaurant quality. Go to preparewithdave.com. And thanks to those good people for making this segment possible, as well as our good friends at Noble Gold. Listen, if you think the cash is going to be around much longer, you're kidding yourself. You're not looking at the debt projections, the just-in-time deliveries. When we start to see economic cracks, it's going to fail. And then you're going to wish you had food, water, guns, gold, ammo, medicine, blah, 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 blah. Well, we can also help you with the gold. Noble Gold is there to help you exchange your soon-to-be worthless cash into precious metals. And precious metals like gold hold their value. We have over 6,000 years of history to support that notion. And how do you get a hold of the good people at Noble Gold? Well, you got to call them, or you can go to their website, and that's in the description box following this broadcast. But their number, if you want to call them for direct access, is 877-646-5347. That's 877-646-5347. Well, Richard Ruling was on our show last year, and we've asked him back to talk about biblical applications to what we're looking at now. Richard, welcome to the show, and I'm glad you could join us.
So good to be with you, Dave. God bless you and your efforts.
Well, thank you, and same to you. Well, for the people who may not have heard you before, give us a little bit of your background relative to what we're going to talk about tonight.
Well, I went to a college, and I'm coming from a Seventh-day Adventist background, but I am not trying to get anybody to join that church. I believe all denominational churches have big problems. I just appreciate it for a health heritage. I'm 77, and the Adventists, they know how to eat better, to live well, longer. My school where I was teaching was gifted $40 million by NIH to find out why that community lived about 7 years longer than other non-smoking groups. So they are in prophecy some, but right now they're not living it or preaching it or looking at it, and I think they're dead asleep. I've asked them to take my name off the membership. But I am indebted to some background there, and basically I'm non-denominational in what I'm sharing today. I believe some people see it, some people don't.
Well, you're absolutely right, and there's been a major failing in the pulpit all across
this
country. Yeah, we're here.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, Richard, we just had a little bit of a cutout, and I apologize for that. And I have to warn you, we may be interfered with. I just did an hour-long interview with Paul Martin last night, and I looked at it, listened to it, and today that interview was wiped off my computer. And it was of a very sensitive nature. So I'm warning you, we could experience some random influences, but we'll just soldier on. But what you were saying, I totally agree with. We are having a crisis in the pulpit. We often have pastors who are more concerned about their tax deductions than they are saving souls. And I see
exactly.
This over and over again.
I have a friend from medical school who stood up to protest a homosexual who was being ordained as an elder and she was told not to come back to church. The 501c3, if you take those funds, you got to consider everybody equal.
Well, I think in the eyes of God, we are equal, but that doesn't mean that you have to condone non-biblical lifestyles.
And that's the point. So, but I didn't want to get into, I know God loves everybody, and I believe the last 7 years are going to test whether we're going to run toward God or away from Him. And the pressures with the media and trust the UN and the Pope and everything else is going to be the masses. But, Christ said many are called, few are chosen. But I believe God has a good plan for us to survive, and I'm glad to be here to share it with you briefly.
Well, I'm glad you're here, too. But I have to tell you, did I hear those words, trust the UN? I don't know how anybody but dyed-in-the-wool Satanist globalist could ever support the United Nations in any form.
Well, exactly right. And the genocide of about 25 years ago in Rwanda, I personally, it was made out to be political maybe, but it was really Protestant Tutsis that were slaughtered by the local Catholic folk. And I'm not against Catholic. I believe there are many fine Catholic Christians. I've got Catholic relatives and friends. But the hierarchy at the top of the level in seeking global dominance is not to be trusted or proved or anything, because really that's, it's anti-biblical from my perspective. The early Americans understood that in Revelation 13, that first sea beast was the papacy that they had fled for freedom in America. And the second beast was a lamb-like beast, symbol of Christ, two horns but no crowns, a government without a king and a church without a pope, Protestant America. And that lamb-like beast, though, causes fire to come down from heaven like Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and it causes the world to make an image or look-alike to the previous beast. And I think New World Order is going to look like Old World Order to God, because it's going to compel false worship. And that's why we cannot take that mark and go along with that system. And I see that God has a plan for us, but most people, they think they're going to be raptured out of here, and I don't think so.
I don't either. I totally reject that theology. We're meant to go through the suffering, and it's part of our challenge as Christians and those who live through that time. And maybe where the suffering is great, the reward will even be greater. But, I look at this with some hesitancy. I have to tell you, Richard, I'm nervous about what's coming, and I'm talking specifically about the 7 years.
Well, let me give you a time frame, I think, based on several things. You indicate we're going to have about 51 minutes, so I want to give you something biblical. In the Ten Commandments, God gives man 6 days to do all of his work, but Peter says a thousand years is like a day. Don't be ignorant about this. God is not slack. The day of the Lord will come, which is the end time period. And Jewish sages throughout some segment of history considered the world would be 6,000 years old till the end of, till the cessation or the seventh millennium. And my point is that I'm seeing how we can know, basically. God enforced the weekly cycle where there are 6 days and then a Sabbath with the yearly cycle of 6 years and then the rest of the land for 1 year. And after seven sabbatical years, the 50th year was a jubilee year. Because the 50th year was also number one of the next sequence, they came 49 years apart. And the most famous time prophecy in Daniel 9, where it says 70 weeks or 77s, 490 years, okay, to the Messiah, Christ. Unfortunately, the Jews couldn't count seven, I guess, but they missed the whole deal. But my point is, if you understand what Jubilee represented, and that in a Jubilee year, people got their land back. If they had sold their land, it came back to family ownership, so you could not impoverish your children. And they were freed from servitude in a Jubilee year. Well, that's what happened when that prophecy of Daniel 9 went into effect. It said from the decree of Xerxes, the Persian king, who let the Jews leave Persia and go and get their land back, and they got they were freed from servitude. But the point is, if you fast forward and come 50 Jubilees, the Jubilee of Jubilees was 1995 when Pope John Paul went to the UN on the Day of Atonement. Now, that's the only day in the year to proclaim Jubilee. How he picked that day, I don't know, because I don't think he's thinking Bible. But anyway, then there was a 20-year gap, and Pope Francis also went to the UN, also on a Day of Atonement. And so we should wonder why the 20-year gap in this Jubilee sequence. But if you remember what Peter said, that don't be ignorant, he says in 2 Peter 3:8, the 1,000 years is like a day is like 1,000 years. God is not slack, the day of the Lord will come. If you try to integrate the Jubilees into 1,000 years, you have 490 years and another 980. And there are 20 years left over at the end of the Jubilees, marked by those papal visits, I believe, to signal the end of, I think, 6,000 years. And since 2015, I think we are running on fumes. And the other events, if you don't do math, and God gives it to you several ways, 2015 had about seven when-then signs, like the sun will be darkened, a rare solar eclipse on the equinox of 2015, and the moon shall turn to blood. Well, that was the blood moon on Passover in 2015. And then when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction is coming. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:2-3. But that was the Iran nuclear deal. We gave Iran about $6 billion. Now we can't build a wall with $6 billion. You know, bad idea. You know, thank you very much, Mr. Obama. But another when-then sign was when you see an abomination standing where ought not. And the early believers understood that was the Roman army. And so when Rome came under Cestius in 66 A.D., the Christians fled and were spared the siege by Titus. So they weren't around. They had fled the city. It was a sign to get out of the city. Well, the Pope, first of all, we did have a jade helm. HELM stands for Homeland Eradication of Local Militants. There was a military drill in the Southwest in 2015. And the Pope also came to U.S. Congress. For those who read the Bible in Revelation 17:5, the harlot is considered the mother of abominations. So when Christ said, when you see abomination standing where it ought not, I think the Pope ought not to be in our U.S. Congress. I think that, you know, if he knows so much about the economy, let him help Latin America so they don't all want to come up here. You know, basically, it's they've had hundreds of years. They were colonized the same time as America. Why are they so backward? You know, it's basically not a good situation. I love Catholic people. They're good Christians. Many of them are. But I believe the hierarchy is trying to take this thing where it ought not to go. And this country that was Protestant has been changing for decades since Roe v. Wade and the Reagan opened the borders to the papacy and appointed a ambassador, basically.
Well, I think that it's done more than change. I think there's been tremendous persecution brought against Christians, particularly in foreign countries, but we're seeing it here too. I'm going to give you an example. The other day in the Final Four basketball tournament for the NCAA, Texas Tech was praying and the CBS cameras had to cut away. And I see this all the time, Richard.
Yes, I see it too, and things are removed from the internet that shouldn't be removed. In fact, it's just we're seeing fake media and bad stuff. I just wanted to give that overall heads-up view because just like I said, the Roman army came 3.5 years before Titus, and the Pope 3.5 years ago to this spring, to Passover. And I'm believing that we will see in the next 6 weeks huge stuff that will signal end times for certainty. It will start, I think, it says in Zechariah 14, verses 1 and 2, that the day of the Lord comes, which is the end time period, and all nations will be gathered against Jerusalem to battle. Now, we don't see that right now. We think, oh, we got the embassy there. Their attack on Jerusalem, but I think that the history with the Pope, if you taking you back now centuries and centuries, it was Muhammad married a Catholic nun, and Khadija is her name, and she had her uncle mentor young Muhammad to the intent that the Muslims would capture Jerusalem from the Jews, Protestant Christians, and turn it over to the papacy. Well, the Muslims reneged. They never did turn it over, and so they had the holy wars and crusades to try to take Jerusalem back from those infidels, the Muslims. Well, I think the Pope went there into Abu Dhabi a couple months ago, first part of February, and he and signed a nice deal with them, and I suspect he probably encouraged them to do it again, you know, so that I think we could see something a couple weeks from now. I could be wrong, but if we do see it, we are that is a heads up sign for America, because it will mean the judgment is starting first against Jerusalem and secondly against America a month later.
What do you think Jerusalem has done to warrant a judgment?
Well, a messianic rabbi that I know, I was telling him how I believe that judgment would come on America, and he said, well, don't forget God has two houses, and he's going to clean them both before he puts them together. And they have they are closed to Christians moving there, and yet they have gay parades and things like we do, you know. And so that there's a and my rabbi friend told me that 90% of Israel have no interest in their spiritual heritage, and 8% are Orthodox Jews who hate Christians. So that doesn't leave a whole lot to go on. But I'm seeing that God's plan for the end is that he is going to put Jews who accept the Messiah together with Christians who accept the biblical laws. And I'm not talking about Jewish ceremonies like, where they do the, for example, Passover, the Seder and the kill a lamb and so on. I don't think we have to kill lambs. I think you can keep Passover as Christ did his disciples with the bread. He said, this is my body. And he said, this is the grape juice is my blood. And we can do it that way. But those are appointed times for judgment, I think, historically, not only on Egypt, but also on Christ. And Passover was when Titus came in 70 AD. I think we're going to pick up and start with Passover timing, and we'll see what happens a couple weeks from now. But if so, America's on for judgment 1 month later, because Christ's closing parables have Passover timing, but in the second spring month, like the days of Noah. The flood came in the Passover timing, but second month, and also you know the ten virgin parable, where five women mess the wedding, and it's badly interpreted when he says you don't know, never know, can't know. But the Greek word eido means be aware, consider, understand. And so Christ was telling his disciples, you don't understand. It's like a man traveling to a far country. Well, the 9-11 clue from Numbers 9, verse 10 and 11 is that if you're in a journey and you can't get back to Passover, to Jerusalem for Passover, you're to keep it the second month. You're not excused from judgment. You should observe that time that is set apart for that. And so Christ was cluing us. And by the way, since when I heard you talking about gold and other things, I think economy will have a impact at second Passover. That's 6 weeks from now, because you remember the slothful servant didn't have his money. He had to go find it, dig it up somewhere. Only the wise who had got their money. The wise servants knew when the master was coming, and they had theirs prepared. I think we should take our money out before second Passover, out of the banks, so we'll have some cash. Otherwise, maybe a banking holiday with a huge event that I believe will be an earthquake. Let me just tell you from God came to Egypt, and he executed judgment on Egypt and took Israel to a covenant that made them his kingdom and his bride. He said, return to me, I'll marry to you, in Jeremiah 3:14. Well, when did they get married? They got married when they made the covenant at Sinai. And I'm seeing that there's going to be a replay like Egypt, because the wedding parable has a midnight cry, just like Egypt had a midnight cry. You know, at midnight, death fell on the Egyptians, on the firstborn, and a great cry went up from Egypt. Well, in the wedding parable, Matthew 25, there's at midnight, there was a cry made, the bridegroom comes. And I think it's a similar parallel. You have a group of people that are going to sing a song of Moses and the Lamb. Well, it's a song of their experience, a similar experience. And I think that in Revelation, water turns to blood, things like that. Well, I think we will see some of that, and we may have the power, like Moses, to turn water to blood. It says in Revelation 11, verse 3, God will anoint his two witnesses with power, and in verse 6 it says they have the power to turn water to blood.
How does this fit in with the tribulation, though? I mean, is this the very beginning of it? Will the judgment of Israel come in the very beginning of the tribulation? Can you lay out a time frame?
Yes, I can. Revelation 11 gives actually two time frames, a 42-month period that is following the 1,260 days in verse 3. 1,260 days is 3.5 years. It says, I will give power to my two witnesses for 1,260 days. They have the power to shut the heavens, turn water to blood, and when they finish their testimony, the beast ascends to make war and to overcome them. And that beast has power in Revelation 13, verse 5, power is given him to continue 42 months. So a total of 7 years, but first God's side has the power, and I think there's going to be hard times and maybe civil war during that time, but the real tribulation, worst times, will not come until the beast, UN, the compelling power that you can't buy or sell unless you get the mark, and so on. And that's how I see it, that we will probably see civil war. And the beast, I think, my opinion is that they don't want to be guilty of genocide right off the bat. And they're going to tell certain groups, to go where your group belongs. Like if you're on Jewish or want to keep the Sabbath, you better go to the Middle East. And personally, I come from that background, and I will look forward to going, because I see it's easiest said in Ezekiel 36, that's 36 chapters and 24 verses. Verse 24, I will gather you out of all nations, bring you into your own land, sprinkle clean water on you, and give you my spirit, put my a new heart within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes and judgments, and you'll dwell in the land that I gave your fathers. And that is the preamble in Ezekiel 36 to the dry bones. Maybe you heard the story, them bones, them bones, them dry bones, when you were a kid. I heard it, Ezekiel 37. The bones come together, and God asks Ezekiel if those bones can live. And Ezekiel says, Lord, I don't know, you can know. And they did. They came together, and they got life in those bones. And then two sticks, one for Judah, which is Jews, I think, that received the Messiah, and one stick for Israel, Christians like in this country who received the biblical laws, will be put together and become one stick in Ezekiel's hand. In verses 16 and 17 of Ezekiel 37, they become his kingdom in verse 22. And this is before the Gog and Magog stuff that you hear about with Russia coming down and so on in Ezekiel 38. We hear about Russia and Gog and Magog, but we're not there yet. Okay, it's these other things are going to happen first, in my opinion, chapter 36, and an opportunity to go there. And I want to volunteer, because God says in Jeremiah 30, verse 11, he's going to make a full end of all other nations, but he's not going to make a full end of Israel and Judah. I have a book, by the way, from a messianic woman, Batya Wooten, who said, the title of her book is, Who is Israel and Why We Need to Know? Well, Israel was the 10 tribes that were in apostasy, and God took them captive by Assyria and scattered them among the nations. And they migrated, many of them, into Europe, and they intermarried with Christians and fled the papacy to this country, so that America can be looked upon at this point right now as Israel. We think of Israel as that country over there, but thanks to the UN and a gift of land that's really premature, and they're trying to tell the Jews what to do all the time, and most of those people are not interested in spiritual things anyway. So I think it's trouble, and God is going to clean the house, both houses, Israel and America, and then those that want to go there as a part of a spiritual heritage, we might end up going to Sinai, I don't know, and talking with God, you know, like he did before. There's verses to suggest that. But that's just a big overview that, to me, is stayed out. Don't take my word for it, but the Bereans in the Bible were more noble because they received the word with readiness and searched to see, is this really so? And I see that it's the context of the new covenant promise that God is going to give us, write his law in our hearts in Jeremiah 31. But the context is that I'm going to gather you from the north country, which is Babylon, bring you from the coast, the lame, the blind, the woman with child. A great company is going to return there. Your children will come again to their own border. They'll come from the land of the enemy. So that's how God regards this land that he's going to make a full end of, as the land of the enemy, because D.C. is surrounded by Maryland. You know, that's basically infiltrated so heavily. The Congress is either capital C Catholic or little c universal, go along to get along with everybody.
Yeah, and, I agree. Richard, we're gonna hold it here just for a minute. We're gonna take a break, okay. And we're actually gonna disconnect from you and try to reestablish, because every now and then we get a little fuzzy connection, and so we're gonna try that. And we come back, we'll do our bottom of the hour break, and then I've got a couple of questions for you related to what you're talking about. So sit tight. We'll call you right back. Be patient, just a moment.
I am here.
Okay, and we're back with Richard Ruling. And Richard, we still got a little bit of that fuzziness, but we'll just have to live with it. First of all, I want to let everybody know the remainder of the show is brought to you by, well, you know who he is, Bob Griswold, one of my favorite guys. Why? He doesn't just sell prepping gear at readymaderesources.com. He consults with you, finds out where you're at, helps you meet your needs. He's the only guy that I know that does that for free. Go to readymaderesources.com. And again, we're also sponsored in this hour by preparewithdave.com. The very best in storable food, best prices. Check it out, preparewithdave.com. Well, we're joined by Richard Ruling, and we're going through a lot of what I'd loosely call end times prophecy and seeing how it applies to today. Richard, let me ask you a question here that comes to my mind a lot because I hear a lot of people discuss it. Is America the new Babylon?
I believe that in Revelation 17, it identifies Babylon as the city of seven hills, color of cardinals, scarlet, wealthy church. You know, you can't get into the Bank of Vatican to know what is there, but and with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. It's a church involved with politics around the world, seeking world control. And so that's Babylon, but it's the mother. It says in verse Revelation 18, she's caused all nations to drink of her wine of her wrath. And America has certainly been surrounded and has been making changes for decades, so that it's not maybe Benjamin Netanyahu did call us the new Rome, by the way. He said that Rome did a bad thing in 70 AD, but we love America as the new Rome. Thinking he's going to get support and help from us, but really, there's a lot of parallels with the obelisk, you know, the phallic symbol, both in Washington D.C. and the Vatican, and by the way, UK has one also. So it's different aspects of, you know, one is religion, one is military, one is money, but the world effort to control the world is instead of God is going to in Daniel 2. Grind the images of this world, the head of gold, the chest of silver, the thighs of brass, and legs of iron to powder by a stone kingdom that we can be part of. we can be part of that winning. You know, when God took Israel out of Egypt, he made a covenant and said, you're my kingdom if you'll keep my covenant. And we can have a parallel opportunity when the disciples wanted to know, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel at this time in Acts 1 verse 6? Christ said, it's not for you to know the times or seasons, but he didn't say it'll never happen. Paul says, of the times and seasons, you have no need that I write, for you know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes when they're saying peace and safety, sudden destruction comes. Well, the times and seasons is linked to the kingdom that Christ said, and he said it's linked to the end time when they're saying peace and safety, which they're saying now. That's the focus. How can we keep this world safe? You know. So I think it's impending, and when we see judgment fall on America like it fell on Egypt, we can be there if we are ready to respond, like it says in I look at the wedding parables as the Rosetta Stone. The Rosetta Stone had three languages, Greek, Egyptian, and the hieroglyphics, and they used the different languages and combined them together. I see that as like the wedding parable. If you put them all together, you get a complete picture. Anyone by themselves, you don't, and you might think you're going to be raptured. But when Christ said, two will be in the field, one taken, the other left, in Luke 17th chapter, the disciples asked, where are they taken? And Christ says, where the body is, there will the eagles be gathered. So that's not a very good rapture. I don't want to go where the body is. I with the eagles, I would like to be left behind on that one. So I see the rapture. Paul said it comes at the last trump. There are seven trumpets in Revelation, and it's preceded by an earthquake that I think is 6 weeks away if we see Jerusalem surrounded at 2 weeks from now. If they get it 2 weeks from now, we get an earthquake that will be the mother of all earthquakes. It says in Isaiah 2, verse 12 and 21, day of the Lord, and verse 21 says he will arise to shake terribly the earth. And I think I would not want to be living in the Southern California where I was teacher at Loma Linda, but don't want to be there then at that point, because I think it's going to get huge there at the end of the San Andreas Fault.
That's an interesting projection. Are you familiar with the Deagle projections? And Deagle's a front group for the CIA, in which they say that within the next decade, early in the decade, America will suffer a 90% population reduction. Have you seen that, or are you aware of that?
No, I haven't, but the 90%, LA Times had an article published three and a half years ago, nearly four now. It was in 2015, October, November, that they had a 99% chance of a major earthquake in the next 3 years. And I wrote them saying, you know, I got the specifics because Christ warned it would be as the days of Noah. Noah, there was wild, and it may not be a flood like Noah's day, but if I were living in Southern California, their seacoast might be rearranged, you know, with those tectonic plates. And I just think if God is going to, it says that the Lord will roar, the heavens and earth will shake. I think it's going to be bigger than we expect. And I think the end times will, everybody will know the end times are here then.
You know, I read a projection, some lady in the White Mountains was actually talking about this as a prediction, and this is 20 years ago, Lori Toy, I think her name was. And I went and did some research on it. If we had a 9-plus earthquake off the coast of Southern California, the tsunami could be 1,500 feet high and water would actually reach Phoenix. Were you aware of that?
I've seen maps where it might be projected that way. Let me say this, if I may, and that is that Loma Linda is huge. It was offered $40 million because the community lives about 7 years longer. It was featured on the cover story of National Geographic in 2005 in the November issue for longevity. It showed a picture of a woman putting gas in her car at age 100. I had one of my teachers lived recently, died at about 105. But my point is, all of that because of the founder, Ellen White, who I think was a straight prophet. I think that she was blessed by God. The church is, I'm not trying to get anybody to join the church. Like I said, I'd ask them to take my name off because they weren't following her. She did not want pharmacology taught at Loma Linda. She wanted natural herbs. It was to be, to train missionaries to go door to door with simple remedies and nutrition, cooking healthful food and so on. Well, and they hijacked the school from her, okay? But, and so I believe they will get the earthquake, but she had a vision in which many lives were blotted out and buildings great and small falling to the ground. And in one, I send you the PDF, where everything from L.A. to San Bernardino and Riverside, total destruction, basically. I don't know that the waves came over that or not, but I just say it's going to be big, you know.
Listen, I hear exactly what you're saying. I've heard this before, but I have seen the fallout from this. And the other thing that you see simultaneous to this is it's not just Southern California. I've seen where the New Madrid Fault will actually change the flow of the Mississippi River and split the country in half. Does this fit into anything biblical?
Well, you know, there are people who say that they've had vision or dream that if you split our Israel, I'll split your land, you know. And so it might, it could, but I do believe that is a bigger earthquake than anything we have ever seen that is in the Bible, okay? And to me, you know, I can't always trust dreams and visions of other people, but if it's in the Bible, you know, it used to be that years ago, if you had a man's word for it, it was real. But later, things have changed. You say, well, did you get it in writing? Well, now we got it in writing, okay? Yeah, you can't trust everybody who said God told them because there are too many things out there that don't fit up, add up. But it's in writing in the Bible, and if God is going to shake mightily the earth, I think there are three texts that offer protection for watching and praying. It says in Matthew 24, verse 43, the goodman, if he'd have known, would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken. Well, I think second, and by the way, that has also second Passover timing, because if you take a King James Bible and you look, there's only one reference to Goodman in the Old Testament. It's in Proverbs 7, verse 19 and 20. And by the way, I'm giving text for everything I'm saying. I'm not, you know, you can ask me if it doesn't connect, I'll give you where it's at. But the in Proverbs 7, verse 19 and 20, a harlot is talking to the simple guy, and she says, oh, the goodman has gone on a long trip. He's taken a bag of money. He won't be back to the full moon. Yom Kesi is full moon. Well, Passover comes on a full moon, but a long journey means second Passover, because that was the provision in Numbers 9, verse 10 and 11. If you're taking a long trip and you can't get back, you keep Passover a month later. And so all of those little parables tie together for, I think, if you see Jerusalem compassed with armies 2 weeks from now, we really should keep the Lord's pray on the night of May 20 and 21. That's the second Passover. May, it's a Monday night, you know, and it might not fit with people's work schedule, but I think if we're really for real and watching, and by the way, for your entrepreneurs, you know, we live in a country where people would like to be their own boss and own CEO. Well, Christ says he will make him ruler over all that he has if we are that servant that is so doing when he comes. That includes, I believe, watching and praying. It says in, let me back up. It's Luke 12, verse 36 and 37. It said we're supposed to be ready when he comes and knocks, that we may open immediately. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord finds watching. He will gird himself and make him sit down to eat, and will serve him. Well, that's what he did at Passover. He served his disciples at Passover. So it has the Passover imagery, and the knock is an earthquake, because the only other place where Christ knocks in the Bible is Revelation 3:20, and we all like the evangelical meaning, he's knocking at the door of our hearts, but we forget that that church where he knocked was lukewarm, kept him outside, and that church ended in an earthquake around 63 AD. So Revelation is also about how things end, and the knock is an earthquake. We think we're rich and increased with goods, but that can all disappear very quickly, as you are preaching, and it will soon.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying on this. What about the rest of the world? Are they going to suffer similar calamities as has been prescribed for us in Israel?
I think that judgment begins at the house of God. It says in 1 Peter 4:17, and that in a special sense, America is, or in a general sense, America is God's house. We've had a higher profession of Christianity that we are surely not living up to for the past several decades. Okay, you know, if Egypt is judged for killing babies, we have aborted 70 million. And if Egypt was judged for enslaving Israelites, we have enslaved nearly all in alcohol, tobacco. Prescription drugs are a leading cause of death today, but we call it health care. You know, negative lifestyles, and that just will, and we celebrate it all as our freedom to do, to die as we really wish, you know, and without symptoms. People can go into a nursing home and about half of them die in the first year. And the other half are standing in the hallway, staring into space, filling their diaper, and thinking everything is okay because they're so spaced out on medicines.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to argue with that. But what about earthquakes and tsunamis and other natural disasters around the country? Say like China, Russia, Europe. What's going to happen there, according to prophecy?
I believe that they will similarly experience the hard times around the world, but that I think God is going to make a bigger object lesson out of America because we have turned from a greater light. They haven't had the light that we've had. They will experience it as well, my opinion. But I think America is, if you read, by the way, in Revelation 13, that second beast comes out of the earth, as opposed to the previous beast that comes out of the sea. And Revelation 17, verse 15, defines the sea as nations and peoples and tongues and so on. So the sea beast was the papacy. It grew up in the old world that was populated. America grew up out of the earth, unpopulated, the opposite of the sea. But when he's going to punish the earth, in Revelation 8 and 9, judgments are poured out on the earth. It may be U.S. primarily, you know, and certainly with the hordes of people coming to this country, illegal aliens. There's in Isaiah 28, it talks about the overflowing scourge that I think we're gonna see it, you know. And I would not want to be living in a major city at that time. I think the cities, the sign to get out of the cities was given to the disciples when Cestius came and they fled Jerusalem and they went rural. And Joel Skousen, strategic relocation and so on. Depopulated areas is where you want to be. I'm in a community where there's no police station, no bank. I live on a gravel road. But I think my chances are better here than in a populated area.
Yeah, a lot of people who help people prepare for bad things coming say the same thing. One prepper I talked to said, you need to be at least 120 miles away from the nearest metropolitan area. And I'm thinking, easier said than done. what would you say to the average American listening to this broadcast, knowing that this nation's going to come under horrific judgment, if not now, at some point in the future? And what would you say to them about their salvation, but more importantly, is there things that people can do to increase their chances of surviving what's coming?
Yes, I do. And I really believe that God made man and put him in a garden, and the first murderer was also built the first city, Cain, okay? And I believe that the sign to get out of the cities could be when the Pope stood in Congress. That was an abomination standing where it ought not, really. He ought not to be here because he believes in church and state, not separation. So he believes he should, the religious power should be telling people what the law should be and so on. We've had good freedom until recently, and the thing's falling apart because of getting the Ten Commandments out of the classroom and courtroom and so on, and a secularization where we don't want to hear any preaching, and the preachers have failed us basically. But I think that we can be safe in the country initially, But here's the prophecy that we haven't dealt with yet. In Daniel, the 8th chapter, there is a confrontation of a ram and a goat. And historians tell us that was fulfilled when Alexander the Great conquered the Medes and Persians. It mentions the Medes and Persians in verse 20 of Daniel 8. But Gabriel tells Daniel, this vision is at the time of the end. And today, the Medes and Persians are Iraq and Iran, and Iraq has already been beaten, and Saddam is gone. That horn has already been broken in a end-time fulfillment, so that I believe the next war we're going to do is not against North Korea or China or Russia. It's going to be Iran, okay? In fact, today's headlines support that a little bit, with Trump calling their Revolutionary Guard a terrorist organization and so on. It's escalating the pressure on Iran. And I believe that, just between me and you, I think I already covered that, so I don't want to repeat what I said, but I just think the Muslims are going to go for Jerusalem, and I think we will get into war with them soon, and being in the country is always safer than being in the city, I think.
I agree, but is there going to come a time in this country, do you foresee, active Christian persecution, where people will be sought out for their beliefs and put to death?
Yes, I do. That's the implied in the wording of Revelation 13, around verse 14. It's an image to the beast, that he would cause all rich and poor to receive a mark they can't buy or sell unless they comply. And we think that in this enlightened age it could never happen. Well, yes, it could, and it did in Rwanda. Those were Protestant Tutsis that were martyred and murdered. And it was said, I watched a documentary online on YouTube, with so many UN vehicles on the streets of Kigali that if you spit, you'd probably hit a UN vehicle. But all of that safety and protection was ordered to stand down and just let the local government handle it. Well, the local government was Catholic, and the people were martyred. And thank you, John Paul. But and he later said, sorry. Well, sorry, my foot. You know, it's just that's my opinion.
Yeah. Are you aware that this Pope that we currently have is actively trying to blend Islam with Christianity? And there's actually a term for it called Chrislam. How much awareness do you have of this?
Yes, I am aware of that, and I've heard the term Chrislam, and I believe he's a great one to do it, because Babylon means confusion, and it's a fusion of everything. Everything. The only thing that won't go is protest. If you're protesting him, you're going to be in trouble. And I believe personally that Seventh-day Adventists will be the target of that, because they have been printing a book called Great Controversy, which is an exposure of the Dark Ages and the martyrs and what the Protestants... Luther was a great man. He would roll over in his grave if he knew what was happening with the Lutherans today, going back to have joint communion, etc. You know, and I think that we will see big trouble. And it's based biblically on Daniel 12, verse 7, where the holy people will be scattered. Christ quoted Zechariah 13, verse 7, when he said, he was talking to his disciples, he said, you will be offended this night, because it is written, smite the shepherd, the sheep will be scattered. Well, he was smitten, and his disciples scattered that night. It was a microcosm of end-time events, and we will be scattered. I'm already in the country where I want to be, but there are going to be people, if they're going to obey Christ, and they see New World Order setting up with martial law on the cities, they got to get out. You know, that the warning is that when you see the abomination standing where ought not, if you're on the housetop, don't even go down to get your stuff. Well, that's, I say make a plan ahead of time and get out, find a place to stay. I knew a Presbyterian pastor 15, 20 years ago in Chattanooga who carried his backpack loaded in the car so that if he was at work and something happened, he could meet his wife somewhere else. He wouldn't even have to go home. they had a previous plan. But where is that today? I don't know if any people are planning on that, but I think if we see Jerusalem compassed with armies 2 weeks from now, it can happen in our country a month later because of Christ's 9/11 clues to the book of Numbers, chapter 9, verse 10 and 11.
When we look at your projection here, about 2 weeks, is there a specific date we can target?
Well, the Roman general Titus came at Passover. It was intended, was maximum people in the city. He wanted to get the maximum, and I think history tends to repeat. I like Ecclesiastes 3:15, usually King James, but the New English Bible has a nice wording. It says, what is has been already, what is to come has been already, and God summons each event back in its turn. And I think we are going to see a repeat. I could be wrong, but if so, everybody on this channel, hey, today I have a free book on the at Amazon. It's and if they were to go to Amazon.com and type in a book, books, my name, Richard Ruling, spelled R-U-H-L-I-N-G, they can get a free, title of it is Turkey Soup for People Who Are Chicken About End Times. And it's how 9/11 points us to judgment in May, really, and okay. Because it's a May Day.
You know. You beat me to that question. I was going to ask you how people can follow your good work. Can you give out that information one more time before we have to sign off?
Sure. It's go to Amazon, and my name is, by the way, my name is Ruling, spelled R-U-H-L-I-N-G, but the wedding parable says he will make us ruler over all that he has. And since my name is Ruling, I really want to understand that. But it's not about me. It's about 144,000. The 144,000 are said to be virgins, and they must be the wise virgins to get into the wedding. And I think we can be there and do that if we understand the timing. To watch, we don't know when to watch. The word watch means be awake, and we can't be awake every night. But the clues point to Passover, or more specifically, Second Passover. So if we watch and pray, read a book on Christ's life, I would say they can go to Amazon.com, get my book. It's free right today, tonight. If they go tomorrow, it's $2.99. Not that won't break them up either.
No.
But it's an e-book. I like the e-books. No paper or ink, no postage. You can make the print as big as you want when you want to read it, etc.
Sure.
So turkey soup for chicken people who are chicken.
I like the title, Richard, my friend. We are out of time, and I want to thank you for coming on here and sharing. Thank you.